Well, good evening. Good to see everybody out tonight. Most of you all are probably more patient than I am. When something is decided upon, I'd like to get it done as quick as possible. Red lights should be replaced by green lights at my arrival at every intersection. And I think over the years, God has painstakingly and progressively and patiently helped me cool my jets at some when waiting for something to happen over which I really have no control. Now, God still has a long ways to go with me. I still order those red lights to be green upon my arrival. In Acts, the first chapter, the disciples were somewhat impatient as well. In verses 6 through 8, after the resurrection of Jesus and the revival of their hope, they queried Jesus. They said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And then he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That helped get the ball rolling. They were chomping at the bit for some action, and they wanted the Lord to maybe hasten up a little bit. Those with a conscience of God and His kingdom should eagerly wait and work and watch for its consummation. Jesus taught us to pray for that in the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. I think on the last Sunday night I spoke about a month ago, we did those first two lines of the Lord's Prayer. Tonight we're going to go a little bit further. Now the Lord's Prayer is what we call it. Christ did not intend for that prayer to become some ritual or some prescribed formula or thing to be mindlessly repeated word for word. It is an example of brevity, of humility, of dependency, of praise, and surrender. Now, having said that, we ought to be conversant with God in the kind of terms and expressions in that prayer. And tonight, we will look at some of the words, the kind of words that we should be part of every prayer in some way or another. In this simple and short prayer, there are two requests oriented on the kingdom theme. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, we'll just look there at the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Jesus said, pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, that line, your kingdom come. A kingdom is a domain ruled by a king. It can be a malevolent or a benevolent king, a foolish or wise king, a bad or a good king who reigns supreme. The good news for us as Christians is that God is the epitome of benevolence, of wisdom, and of goodness. The ultimate expression of this is when he gave his son to die for his enemies, to establish his kingdom. Though there was a wide gap between the holy God and sinful mankind, we can still get in. There's a song that has these lyrics. It says, I don't need to walk on water. A bridge has been built for me. God gave his son who gave his life on the cross of Calvary. I can walk in faith, sheltered safe, because of what he did. I don't need to walk on water. I have a bridge. And still, though, the kingdom is readily available to us 24/7, 365 days. We need to work and pray for an absolute reign and rule of God to hasten. For what kind of kingdom do we pray and wait for? Well, number one, it's a divine kingdom. It is not ruled by humanity. God reigns with Jesus at his right side. Number two, it is an eternal kingdom. Isaiah 9:7 rightly says that of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Three, it is a righteous kingdom. Paul would write in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's also an internal kingdom. Luke records in Luke 17, verses 20 and 21, there that once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Number five, it's also a Christ-centered kingdom. The writer of Hebrews writes in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." And six, it is a certain kingdom. It is sure to come in God's time. Paul would write the church in Corinth, and in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 through 25, he writes there, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are at Christ at his coming, and then comes the end, when he stands over the kingdom to the God and the Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet." It is also a very near kingdom. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Paul would write, "The Lord is near." Many people seek their own kingdom. They want to sit on their own thrones. They chase a dream of an idyllic life lived by their own desires. Many are like the little boy who has built a sandcastle on the beach. He uses sticks and stones and shells and, of course, sand. And when he's finished, he's thrilled until that incoming tide washes it away. Well, so too our sandcastles will fail us when the tide of trouble comes in. Seeking the wrong kingdom is like building with sand. A lot of people are also like the dog who has their mind set on catching a cat. But sometimes when they get too close, they find out they don't really want that cat as bad as they thought. Seeking the wrong kind of wisdom is also like chasing a skunk. We think we want it, but when we gain it, we come to regret it pretty quick. When we don't live by God's kingdom standards, we sin. And when we sin, we regret it, and so will God. When we sin, we need cleaning up, and thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses all sin. So I think let us all, with patient and patience, sincerely pray, "Your kingdom come," and follow up with the next logical request and surrender, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is God's will done in heaven? Well, it's done worshipfully. As about Jesus, we read, "Let all the angels of God worship him," in Hebrews 1:5. It is also done willingly. The only ones to rebel, Lucifer and the other angels, were expelled from heaven. It is also done immediately. It is done perfectly. And it is done humbly. Sometimes we believe that God's will should be comparable with our will. He ought to see things the way that we see things, we declare. Sometimes we even get hyper-Calvinistic, and we believe that everything happens for a reason, and it happens because God has willed it. And so sometimes God gets the blame for much of what man or Satan has caused. Three, we imagine that God's will must be a horrible thing because it puts all sorts of burdens and rules and restrictions and maybe sufferings into our lives. But I think we should share a clear statement concerning the will of God. His will is that we be holy, that we be set apart, a set apart people. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us that his will is that of being grateful. We read there in that verse that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. In 2 Peter 3:9, we see that his will is that for everyone to repent. Peter assures us that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's also that his will that we do what is right. In 1 Peter 2:15, Peter also says there, "For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance, or you may silence the ignorance of foolish men." God's will sometimes it seems difficult to accept, and I want to sort of illustrate that. You may remember Todd Beamer, who was a passenger on United Flight 93 when during the September 11th hijackings. He was one of the passengers that was told that he attempted to gain control of the aircraft from the hijackers, and during that struggle, that's the plane that went down in a field in the Stony Township near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Saving the hijackers. Intended target and additional victims. Subsequently, Lisa Beamer, Todd's daughter, wrote these words. She said, "Slowly I began to understand that the plans God has for us don't just include good things, but also a whole array of human events. I remember my mom saying that many people look for miracles, things that in their human minds fix a difficult situation. Many miracles, however, are not a change to the normal course of human events. They're found in God's ability and desire to sustain and nurture people through even the worst of situations. Somewhere along the way, I stopped demanding that God fix my problems in my life, and I started to be thankful for his presence as I endured them." Instead of demanding her own way, she accepted God's, even though she didn't understand it. God is king. His territory includes the whole creation. We need to remember that the kingdom of God did not start with the coming of Jesus. The kingdom of God has always been. God has always been on the throne. Psalms 103:19 says that the Lord established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Well, the question tonight, as every time we meet, is, are you part of the kingdom of God? Is his will being done in your life? Wherever God is obeyed, there is his kingdom. Whether or not we submit to his rule and reign, the kingdom of God still exists. If one resists the Spirit of God who is moving in their heart, the kingdom of God will still exist. And the intent and purposes of God Almighty is still going to move forward. God has always reigned. He ruled through creation. The heavens obeyed him, even when man did not. God has ruled through providence. He was working all things together for our good, especially preparing to bring forth the Messiah for the whole world. The one who prays, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," are surrendering their will to the reign and authority of God Almighty. It is sort of like our own Gethsemane. It is to do without argument whatever he bids us to do, to make our heart his throne. And God will not accept or occupy a cluttered and sin-stained throne. And so we encourage you to let him cleanse your heart. And do that right now, if you're not a Christian, to come forward as together we stand and we sing. Come on, stand.